John chapter 14 is where we are. And we're going to read one verse that's very familiar. We're going to look at three other verses that are familiar. And as we do, then our time will be done. Words are important, aren't they? Would you agree words are important? If I were to use certain words up here, they would mean, because there would be certain reactions. If I were to say, "Oh, this is so stupid," it would mean something, wouldn't it? Hey, if I picked out some girl in here and I said, "She's so fat," it would elicit a response. If I said, "I hate this," it would mean something too, wouldn't it? How about this? "I love you." Words mean something and words elicit different responses. And the words we use are important. And just and the Word of God is clear on that. You know, the Bible tells us that the words of God are inspired and the words of God are pure words, a silver tried. And the Word of God is important. And you know that words even said in a different manner can communicate something, can't they? If I were to say to Pastor Johnson, "Hey, Pastor Johnson, I love you," that would mean something. Nothing inappropriate about that. In fact, I've told Pastor Johnson on several occasions, "I love you, Pastor Johnson. He's my friend." It would mean something different if I said, "Pastor Johnson, I love you." "Pastor Johnson, I love you. I love you." I just even took it one step further, didn't I? Same words. How about if I said this, "Pastor Johnson, I love you." "I love you." It means something, doesn't it? Words are important. And it is important that we don't use words frivolously. When we talk about this week, all of us have been challenged in one manner or another to obey the Word of God. And as we've been challenged, I would think it'd be a safe bet to say that if I were to ask you tonight, "Do you love God?" In fact, don't say it out loud, but just think to yourself, if I were to say, "Hey, do you love God?" What would your response be? If I were to take a poll and if I were to say, and I'm not going to do it tonight because I want to make sure our words are important and that people aren't just saying something so that they can be part of a crowd. But if I were to say, "Do you love God, JJ?" What would your answer be? Mackenzie, you're a senior, last year at summer camp. "Do you love God?" Jeffrey. "Do you love God?" And probably if I were to ask and I would say, "Hey, stand up," if I were even do this, "Stand up if you love God." "Oh, I love God." You know, it is important that we love God. And I think that the Lord delights in our verbal expressions of saying that we love God. In John chapter 14, however, God tells us how we can prove our love. In a very simple verse, verse 15, he says this, "If ye love me, keep my," what? "I love God." Good. "Then keep his commandments." "Well, I'm going to." I love God. "Then keep his commandments." "If ye love me," the Bible says, "keep my commandments." Do you know that there are several things throughout the Bible we could go through and say these are commandments of God? But I think there are three specific commandments that as we close out Teen Camp 2009, the last teen camp of this decade, it just became more significant, didn't it? As we close out Teen Camp 2009, I think there's three commandments that we as young people should be sure to get, pay special heed to. Hey, if you say, I love God, then keep his commandments. Can I give you a few commandments to keep tonight? Just three of them and our time will be done. Look over in 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. How many of you have memorized this verse in the past? Okay, not unfamiliar to us. Is this just a suggestion, this passage? Is this passage saying here, if you get a chance, maybe tonight there'll be someone who will have fallen in love, and they'll say, you know, we're leaving. You know, I live in Nevada. I do live in Colorado. Since we're such a long way apart. If you get a chance, would you like call me or something? Because I don't know how life is going to be without you. Okay? And that's not necessarily a commitment. It's just if you get a chance. If you get an opportunity. If you ever think of me fondly. If you think of me, if you could just, you know, just drop a line. That's not what God's saying here. He's not just giving out a suggestion, or he's not just giving out some advice. Look what he says in verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. First thing there, he tells us to study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. What are we supposed to study? Say it out loud. We're supposed to study the Bible. God gives us a commandment here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Commandment number one is know your Bible. How do you know your Bible? You get in the Word of God every single day. There should not be a day that goes by in your life where the Word of God has not been opened and you have communicated with God. You ever had good news? You ever gotten one of those report cards that your parents are like, that's my boy. That's my girl. Come here, I'm going to buy you something. You ever gotten one of those? To where you're like, Mom, look! Look, Mom, they're all vowels. They're all vowels, Mom! That's my boy. Come here and I'll bake you a cake. Where you're excited. You got good news? Do you know that every single morning, God has good news he wants to give to you? Every single morning, he's got his book that he's given to you. And he's excited for you to open that up and say, okay, God, what do you have for me? And many times, we just take it and we discard it and we don't study the Word of God. We don't study the Word of God. Do you have a time daily where you read the Bible? If you don't have a time daily where you're reading the Bible, more than likely you're not. My time to read the Bible on a daily basis throughout the summer has been from 9:30 to 10 o'clock in the morning. That's the time when I read the Bible. During the school year, that time is from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. But during this time, it has been from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. Every day I read the Bible and pray for about 30 minutes. And that's not a huge amount of time, but it's what I do. Probably should do more, but I'm just telling you what I do. And I found this. If I'm not in my Bible, Brother Reed, at 9:30, probably won't open my Bible the rest of the day. You know what? I'm a pastor. Every day I'm in church doing God's work. Serving God. Just being a soldier. Onward, Christian. That's me, man, every day. But if I don't read my Bible at 9:30, I don't do it throughout the day. Why? Because things get busy. Is anybody ever here busy? Oh, some of you are. You know what it's like. Yeah, we get busy, don't we? And if we don't have a time to read our Bible, we're just not going to read it. And you will never study the Bible unless you are first reading the Bible. Studying the Bible does take a little bit more. Because you ever done this? You ever made a decision? I'm going to read a chapter of God's Word a day. And it's like real late at night, so you go to Psalm 117. Those of you who are laughing know what Psalm 117 is. Psalm 117 has two verses, like 13 words all together. Thank you, God, for Psalm 117. We've done that before, and I suppose that that's not all wrong, as long as we get some of the Word of God. But studying the Word of God is more than just a casual reading of it, isn't it? Just going by and saying, oh, that's good, okay. You ever read something in your English lit book and you have no idea what it meant? In class tonight, I want you to read the story of Beowulf. And be prepared to write a 3-page essay on Beowulf tomorrow, class. And you go and you're looking at Grendel and Beowulf and you're reading about Grendel and Beowulf. And you kind of look at it for a little while and at the end you've read about 20 pages and you have no idea what you just read. But your assignment's done and you write a 3-page paper and it's like, Dear Mrs. Thompson, if you're actually reading this paper, I'll buy you a Coke tomorrow, Mrs. Johnson. Because, you know, she just did that because she wanted to make your life miserable. She doesn't read this stuff. And we don't study it. God wants us to study His Word. God wants us, when we come across something and we're reading His Bible, and we find something, and we're like, man, what is that? What does it mean to show thyself approved? I wonder what it means to be approved. Approved not unto man, but unto God. You know why many of you struggle with trying to please your friends? It's because you're not struggling to please God. We care so much about, hey, are my pants just right? You ever seen a guy just like worry about the where his pants are? Because if they're too high, he's dork. If they're too low, he's immodest. It's like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Got to have them just right. You ever seen a guy go by? It's kind of funny when a guy does it. I have three sisters. And so I kind of expect it. Anytime we've gone by, we'll be anywhere in this great country God's given us. And we'll walk by a store or a shop, and there's a reflective window. And my three sisters, they kind of give their strike a pose. And move on. But isn't it kind of weird when a guy does that too? It's just right. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? You know, it's even embarrassing when they don't realize that that is a two-way glass. And there's people like, oh my. That's embarrassing. You know, he's up there. It's embarrassing. You know what? It's amazing how much time we will spend so that we're approved by man. And God wants us to be approved by Him. How do we become approved by God? We study His Word. Do you study God's Word? You'll study God's Word by being in God's Word on a daily basis. You will study God's Word by paying attention in youth group. You will, won't you? You ever seen... I'm sure this has never happened at Liberty, but I've heard of things like this happening at other youth groups. Like Pastor Johnson's. Pastor Murray has explained to me how other children... I've heard that some teenagers, they'll come to youth group... and they will use their phones and text during youth group. You've heard it too. Can you believe that people would do that? Pastor Fred, can you believe folks would do that? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe. Now, I know that's never happened in my youth group, right, Stephanie? That has never happened in our youth group. But I've heard that that happens. You know what? If you're texting during youth group, more likely than not, you're not a student of God's Word. You're not studying God's Word. And if you're spending time, you know what's sad is some people will come to youth group and they'll sit in youth group and they'll do everything they can to not listen to what the man of God is teaching them, and they miss so much. And here you've got an hour or 2 hours throughout the week where you can be focused on hearing God's Word, and yet we're pitter-pattering with our friend. We're passing notes. We're talking about such and such. We're laughing at dumb little things. And we're not serious students. And I wonder how often God looks down and says, they're not approved. I don't approve of that. It'd be good if some of you would just say, I'm going to be a student of God's Word. I'm going to read my Bible. For some of you, that would mean that you're going to stop sitting with certain people in youth group. Huh? Because every time you sit with her, she just talks the whole time. She just talks. Got all the gossip. And if you're going to become a student of God's Word, you're going to have to sit with somebody else. Well, I won't be popular. That's all right. You'll be approved by God. It's good to be approved by God. Look, he says, a student, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, I've never seen someone stand for God and be ashamed. I've never seen someone stand before God and be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. When you become a student of this book, and I believe God intends for us to master this book, in that we have a good working knowledge of this book. So many of us know how to fly our fingers around a keypad in texting. How many of you know how to T9? Isn't that amazing? I don't even know. Man, someone gave me their phone the other day so I could text someone. It was on that T9. And I think I divorced their wife and sold a cow. You know, that T9 stuff doesn't, I don't know how to do it. But man, some of you, you go, ta-ta-ta-ba-ta-ta-ba-ta-bong. And then the reply. Something happened? Light, come on. Good job, Brother Jimmy. Jimmy Carter and I, we got this thing here. It had a good idea. So you can just fly. You can fly through your keypad. And yet if I were to say, hey, find for me the story where Jesus healed a leper. Oh, yeah. Open up your Bibles to the place where Jesus heals the leper. Ah. Oh. Is that like in the New Testament? And you're going through and you're using your friend's study Bible. Isn't that a shame? We can T9, but we have no idea about the text of God's Word. Now, I'm not saying you have to know every single thing. I'm just saying this. It's a shame that we don't know more than we do. And the Bible teaches us that we should rightly divide the Word of truth. Do you know the Word of God? If you don't know the Word of God, you will be ashamed someday. You just will be. You'll be with a coworker and they'll say, hey, you're a Christian, tell me about this. And you'll say, well, I think I heard one time that. And you'll be ashamed because you won't be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lieth within you. God wants you to be a student of His Word. So study it. Read your Bible every day. Number two, when you study the Word of God, that's the first commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love God, then study His Word. Number two, I love God. Look in Ephesians 6:1. This is kind of easy stuff tonight. You probably got this one memorized. How many of you got it memorized? Raise your hand. Ephesians 6:1. Let's say it together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? What is it? It's right. It is right. Now, you can fight out about a whole lot of other things. In the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us that we are not to seethe a kid in its mother's milk. Huh? That's what the Bible says. Don't seethe a kid in its mother's milk. Okay. I don't think I've ever done that before. And if I have, God, I'm sorry. And there might be some commandments of the Bible where we're like, what? I don't, okay. All right. But there's really nothing that is unclear about Ephesians 6:1, is there? When it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First of all, the word children means offspring, and you are a child that is supposed to be obedient to his parents until the age of 20. You want to find an interesting thing about yourself? Do you know that every teenager in here does not know the difference between right and wrong? Yes, I do. No, you don't. Don't look at it now, but if you want to prove me wrong later, look at Deuteronomy 1, verse 39. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, God is telling how he didn't allow the children of Israel to go into the promised land. And he says this, I spared those who did not know the difference between right and wrong from the judgment. What was the judgment? Everyone 20 years of age would be sacrificed, would die in the wilderness. But everyone under the age of 20, 19 years old and younger, anyone under that age, a teenager, would be allowed to go in. Why? Because God says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39, they did not know the difference between right and wrong. You know why you've got parents? Because you don't know the difference between right and wrong. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. And the way that God tells parents to drive away foolishness is with the rod of reproof. It chasteneth away foolishness. And too many times we've got young people that are looking for opportunities and ways to get away from the rod of reproof. And so we have a generation that is growing up being foolish. You should thank God if your mom and dad give you rules. You should thank God if your mom and dad make you go to church. You should thank God if your mom or dad says, hey, I don't want you hanging out with that guy. I don't want you hanging out with that girl. And yet instead of obeying our parents, many teenagers are looking for opportunities to do whatever they want to do and to sneak around the rules. And we become fools in the eyes of God. And we say, well, I love God. No, you don't. Not if you're not keeping his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if you don't obey your parents, you don't love Jesus. Yes, I know you don't. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Children, obey. The word obey means to submit, put your life underneath. What they say goes. If they say you're not going to this movie, you're not going to this movie. And you don't say, why? You say, okay, yes, ma'am. It would shock the living daylights out of many of your moms and dads if you just said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It would shock the living daylights out of them if you didn't fight with them next time you asked to do something. Hey, mom, you know, I want to go over to so-and-so's house. Do you think it'd be okay? I don't think that's a good idea. Instead of saying, oh, why? If you just said, okay. Yet that is not indicative of how our responses to our mom and dad are often. I've seen young men as their dads had said, hey, son, come here. And I've seen young men look at their dads and say, God help that young man. That is the spirit of rebellion. And God says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Well, you don't know my dad. You're right, I don't. But God wrote the book and he said, children, obey your parents. You say, well, you don't know my situation. I don't. God does. And he told you to obey him. I've seen young people who their mom will call them. And they look at their phone, the phone that their mom is paying for, and they'll press ignore. And they disobey their parents. I've seen young people do some of the most outrageous things that they wouldn't do to their dog. Your dog comes up, and your dog wants to be pet, and comes and puts themselves beside your leg, and you pet your dog. And I've seen young people, their mom comes up and puts their arm around them. I've seen teenage girls at 13 years of age go like this. Look, come on. And they disobey and dishonor their mom and dad. And they say, these are Christian teenagers who would say, I love Jesus. No, you don't. If you don't obey your mom and dad. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey your mom and dad. It's interesting, too, that children are to obey their who? Parents. Let's say that together. Children, obey your parents. We don't have to ask Heather about this, but the S on the end of parents denotes pluralism or a plurality. Two. Where's Jasmine? You knew that, didn't you? Yeah, see, Jasmine even knew that one. She's a B student. English. Someday she's going to take Heather's spot. The Bible says children obey your parents. You know what that means? And this is hard. That if your mom's remarried, that you're supposed to obey your stepdad. Hey, if your dad's remarried, you're supposed to obey your stepmom. Hey, that's not fair. I got four parents to obey. That ain't right. You're right. I'm not saying that divorce is that there's anything good about divorce. By the way, that's why divorce stinks. In fact, God says he hates divorce because of what it does to kids. But I'll tell you this, you'll be a whole lot better off instead of fighting with that man that your mom married. Instead of doing everything you can to get them to split up so life can be back to normal. Instead of doing everything you can to work around and manipulate the situation and playing dad against mom and mom against dad and who's going to get this weekend and I'll never come back and live with you. If you'll stop playing those games and you'll just obey your parents, life will go a whole lot better for you. Well, how come I have to obey him? Because at the point your parents got divorced, your mom had authority over you and your dad had authority over you. When your mom remarried this guy, all her authority was given to this guy. And now he has authority over you. Man, that stinks. Hey, you didn't cause the problem. And sometimes we have to live with the consequences of other people's sin, don't we? There were 3,000 people that died on 9/11 because some other people thought it was a good idea and they sinned. And there was 3,000 people that lived with the consequences. I'm not saying it's a perfect world, and your situation will never be perfect. You can do two things. You can decide, I'm never going to get in this situation. And I'm going to make sure I marry a godly Christian man or a godly Christian woman so that I never end up in divorce. And number two, I'm going to obey God so that I have the blessing of God on my life, and I'm going to obey my parents. And instead of fighting and bucking against everything that they tell you to do, your life will be 1,000 times more simple if you will just obey your parents. Some of you left up here for camp, and you had a fight with your mom and dad on the way here. Some of you left up for camp, and when you get home, you have some things you need to apologize for. Some of you need to go to your mom and dad and apologize because you've had a dirty, rotten, filthy attitude. Some of you just should go home to mom, and when you see her in front of your friends, give her a hug and say, Mom, I'm sorry for not obeying you. You think you'll have a good Saturday night if you do that? Oh, I guarantee you will. And when she starts to ask you, instead of giving her fine, fun, good, instead of giving her those one-word responses, if you open up that conversation with mom, I'm sorry for disobeying you, you're going to experience sweet fellowship with your parents like many of you haven't experienced for a long time. Children, obey your parents. Well, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. If you love me, keep my commandments. You can find every excuse in the world for why you should not obey your parents, but all of them fall flat in the face of Ephesians 6:1. But I. You go back to Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents. Last commandment. Look over in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Bible says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Verse 19 is where our third and final commandment is. It says, go. Go and do what? Tell others about Jesus Christ. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to be at your visitation time, passing out tracts into the community. God wants you at your school, telling people about Jesus Christ. God wants you at the mall and at Walmart. God wants you wherever you go, at a skate park or at a sporting event. God wants you to be a witness for Him. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you get a chance. It's not if you get an opportunity. If something else doesn't come up, just go and be a witness. God says, go and teach all nations. You are to be a witness for Almighty God. You are to shine the light. You are to take the word of God. You are to go into your community and into your church. And if no one else does, you should be the people that are telling people about Jesus Christ, because we have a world that is lost and dying. We have needs in Cortez. We have needs in Fort Collins. We know we have needs in Las Vegas, Nevada. And instead of waiting for someone else to do something, and waiting for the adults to do something, and waiting for our parents to lead us, God help us to be obedient to Almighty God and heed the call to go. God desires for us to tell others about Jesus Christ. When was the last time you were on churchwide soul winning? When was the last time on a Saturday morning you woke up early instead of playing all night Halo and waking up late and saying, oh, I guess I missed visitation? When was the last time you took initiative and went into your community and invited somebody to an evangelistic day or to a revival? When was the last time you obeyed God? The alternative to soul winning is disobedience. And if you are not telling others about Jesus Christ, you don't love Jesus. It's amazing to me how many times we can make excuses for this. I'm getting my master's. I'm doing some online courses and getting my master's degree. And the school I'm going through is a very well-respected Bible college and very much known for giving the gospel. I took a class called Contemporary Evangelism. And they're talking about methods of telling folks about Jesus Christ. And we have to, every week on that, we have to write like a little paragraph, a 200-300-word paragraph, send it in, and the classmates who are online, they comment on our paragraph and say, hey, this is a good point, this is a bad point, they think about this, and then the instructor grades it and gives us a grade on how we've done it. I'm in a master's. I'm getting my master's. These are people that have all got at least a 4-year degree in some type of Bible institute or Bible college, okay? I'm getting my master's degree. In one of the posts I got, I wrote on my post, hey, if the Bible tells us that we're supposed to go, we do not love Jesus if we are not witnessing. And one of the guys wrote back, I believe his name was Adam, if I remember. He wrote back, dear Matt, I do not think that you can say authoritatively that I do not love Jesus if I don't tell people about Him. You see, Matt, I am not comfortable in sharing my faith. I'm just not confident telling people about Jesus Christ. And though I am, and he's in his 30s, if I remember correctly, though I'm in my 30s, I don't feel like I could adequately share the priceless truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a man in his 30s. Here's a man getting a master's degree in Bible. And he's saying he's inadequate to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know what's amazing? It's that he's believed the lie of Satan. And Satan somehow has deceived him that he is exempt from obeying God. If a 30-year-old master's student can't obey God, then who's going to obey God? Want to know who is? It's going to be 15-year-old girls who go out into their community and pass out tracts. Because God's not looking for the super talented, the way smart people. All God's looking for is somebody who loves them. Loves them enough to say, hey, this is my Jesus. on Monday afternoon, my wife drove up here. It was Monday night late. How many of you saw my three little girls running around here? We saw my three little girls running around here. I hope you never got the impression that I was like, oh man, there they are. Oh, who's that? I don't know. Oh, that little girl's cute. Yeah, I think she kind of is. Who's that pretty blonde lady? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll call her sometime or something. I don't know. Wouldn't you think that was weird? And if I got home tomorrow and I said, hey, honey, I love you, and the whole time at camp, I'd be like, I don't know her. Man, whenever I see my wife, I'm going to be like, she's mine. Spoken for 4 years ago. We have our summer missionaries who come every single year to our church. And 4 years ago, all of our summer college interns, they'll come. And they're, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. And the college interns came. And we went over to my dad's house for a barbecue. And we were sitting there at the barbecue. And we had about 8 or 10 summer missionaries over. And my wife, we just had our one daughter at the time. And I was taking care of her. And my wife was sitting on the couch eating a plate of food. Just eating a plate of food. And she was talking to some folks. And one of the summer missionaries came over and just kind of sat beside her and said, how are you? And my wife said, oh, I'm fine. He said, so what's your name? I'm Brianna. What year are you in college? I'm married. Pastor Matt's my wife. Mrs. Tice, could I get you a, Mrs. Tice, could I get you a drink of water or something? Hey, that's mine. I gave that guy a little bit of harassment about that later on in the year, right then and throughout the year. You know why? Because, hey, if I love my wife, I want people to know she's mine. I got her the biggest diamond I could afford so that people would know, oh, spoken for. Because I want people to know she's mine. I'm not ashamed to say I love Brianna. I love Brianna Michelle. I love Brianna Michelle. She's my wife. I love Ashlyn. I love Bethany. I love Charlotte. They're my girls. I like when all my girls try to get a hug at one time. I've only got two arms and three girls. It gets difficult, but it's a lot of fun. I like my girls. I love my girls. And I'm not ashamed to tell anybody about it. You know what's amazing? If I were to say, if you love Jesus, do you love Jesus? Many of us would say, yeah. Well, then keep his commandments. Oh, okay, I do. But you haven't been out on visitation since summer started. If you love me, keep my commandments. But you haven't told one person about Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you go and you talk about Halo and you talk about video games and skateboarding and basketball and soccer with so-called friends, and you omit what is supposed to be the most important thing in your life, your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And if you're not witnessing, you don't love Jesus. Yes, I know you don't. And you can find a whole lot of excuses for why you say you do. But either you're right or the Bible's right. And God's word says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Three commandments. Study the word of God. Obey your parents. And go and tell others about Jesus Christ. Hey, are those things that any of us have never heard before? But wow, that's really good. I have never heard that before. No. Probably 90% of us in here said, yeah, I know all those verses. I got them memorized. But isn't it amazing how many of us in here don't love God? No, I do love. No, you don't. No, I do. I really do. No, you don't. Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the simplicity of your word and how we don't have to struggle and fight and, you know, search deep to know your will. It's just so evident many times. Tonight, I pray that we would demonstrate our love to you by exercising decisions to be obedient to you. I pray that tonight that young men who are not obedient to their parents would ask for forgiveness and make a decision that they will obey their mom and dad. I pray that young ladies who haven't been soul winning and haven't witnessed would go out and be soul winners and witnesses for you. Father, I pray that there'd be folks who would set a time to study their Bible on a day-by-day basis and make that decision tonight. Lord, I pray that you would work and that we would show you our love by keeping your commandments. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. May I ask this question? Do you love Jesus? It's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, are you obeying his commandments? How many of you here tonight say, Pastor Matt, I want to love Jesus better and I need to make a decision to study the Word of God more. And Pastor Matt, I want to love Jesus, but I understand that I've not been studying the Word like I should and I've not been obeying his commandments. And tonight I'm making a decision, Pastor Matt, that tonight I'm going to show my love to Jesus and I'm going to make a decision to have a personal time with Almighty God each and every day. If that be you, would you raise your hand? Pastor Matt, I'm making a decision to show the love, my love for Jesus. Good. Good. All right. Anyone else would join these? Say, Pastor Matt, I need to make a decision to show my love to Jesus and read my Bible on a daily basis. If that be you, would you put it up? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, up here in the front. Thank you. You can put them down. Number two, how many of you here say, Pastor Matt, I want to show my love to Jesus, but I've not been demonstrating that love because I've been disobedient to my parents. And tonight, I'm making a decision to be obedient to my mom and dad. For some of you, that will mean that you have to go home and apologize for something. For some of you, that means you're going to have to start mending a relationship with a step-parent. I don't know what all that means for each individual, but you say here tonight, Pastor Matt, pray for me. I want to love Jesus and obeying my mom and dad, and I have a decision to make in that area. If that be you, would you raise your hand? Pastor Matt, I need to obey my parents. I haven't been. Good. Keep them up for just a second. Praise the Lord. Put them down. Anybody else? Put them down. Anybody else want to join these? Pastor Matt, I've not been obeying my parents, and tonight I need to make a decision to do so. If that be you, would you raise your hand? Can I see that? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else? Put them down. How many of you say this, Pastor Matt? I'm not witnessing. I say I love Jesus, but I'm not telling others about him. And the Word of God spoke to me that I've been disobedient. I want to love Jesus, and I understand that that means I need to witness. Pastor Matt, pray for me. Pastor Matt, pray for me because I need to become a better witness. And tonight, I'm going to make a decision to be a soul winner. I'm going to make a decision to be a witness. Pastor Matt, pray for me. I have a decision about this area of witnessing. And I'm making that decision tonight. If that be you, would you raise your hand? Good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I love Jesus. Not if you're not telling people about him. Keep it up for just a second. Let me see. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Praise the Lord. You can put them down.